This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
You won't be the same once you meet her. This week on the podcast, Christopher Pike's Sati.
Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA Pulp Fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kate.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today we are talking Sati by Christopher Pike, one of his, his first adult novel.
Yes, debut adult novel.
Yes, yes, yes. Published by Tor, I think.
T-O-R.
I did read this as a teenager and really enjoyed it. As we talked about by text, it's like, do you like books just where it's lectures on meditation? Then you'll like this. If you don't, you probably won't.
I will say this was the most calming book we've read.
I felt really like... I did feel really grounded and happy after I finished it. I was like, life is joyful.
I was just like very sleepy. Like, also, I think it was that I was just generally sleepy because I haven't been getting enough sleep lately.
Sure.
But I was just very like dreamy while I was reading it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, just taking it in. I personally don't, I have trouble connecting to, well, there's two like tropes that I have, not tropes, but like things that I have trouble connecting to personally. Is just like a personal thing. Mm-hmm. Whenever it is like someone, like a wise teacher,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I think I just hate authority. I don't know. I'm just like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like,
fucking God, Kelly.
I know.
She
but
thinks
like,
she's God. And she is. She's
but
God.
Like, also, I don't know.
Spoiler.
Like, I think I also don't like, and it's any kind of text that has, okay, this person is teaching this thing and they've just got all the answers to everything. And like this other person's at, like everyone's asking questions and no one can stump them. And like, I just, that doesn't work for me because I'm just very like, no one has all the answers. But I mean, the conceit of it is that she's God. So like, of course she does. And then
I will say it's not as though, yeah, I don't come away from it like, wow, she was able to answer absolutely every question with like no problems. And like, she really got them. It's like, it's very open to interpretation whether or not you think her answer is sufficient, has sufficiently addressed the question. But also like in meditation lectures, they're never going to be able to like, be like, no, here is definitely the answer. It's all you have to come at it like you're doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say, like, having read a lot of books about meditation or Buddhism, as far as that goes, this is like an excellent primer. Except for the whole, like, there is an entity.
Yes. It was God. There's God.
There is like a God. It is a, like, singularity, but then she does also say like we're all God, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that like, yeah, you won't generally find in a Buddhist meditation. I mean, you definitely won't be like hearing somebody say, "I am God," and also here are Buddhist teachings.
Right.
But
yeah,
it was very like particularly aren't I supposed to clear my mind of thoughts? It's like, well, yes and no.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was a pretty good primer for meditation.
It's like, yeah, I felt like it felt accurate. And it's so funny because I've actually like narrated a lot of books on meditation. But it's funny.
So you
also,
were her.
I was her. I also just don't, and this is a personal thing. This is not like, I don't think that this is a mark on if a book is good or bad. But like whenever there's supposed to be this like very wise, all-knowing being that's like providing the truth and everything, I just keep thinking, okay, but like a person wrote this. So like in their head, they're like, I have the answer and it's this. I don't know. Like it's still.
I totally understand
it's like,
that.
It's like the movie about the best song. Well, so now you have to write the fucking best song.
Yeah. It's like you've got to approach it in order not to be like, well, fuck you. It's kind of like, to me, this is a more, you just have to approach it of like, imagine a world where this is the ultimate
right,
answer
exactly.
instead of no, this is actually like the best song ever written.
Right.
It's kind of like, I mean, I don't extend this same courtesy to like Da Vinci Code where it's like, he's the best code breaker. Just like, imagine a world where this man really is the best code breaker. Instead, I'm like, I fucking broke the code before you. Fuck you.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, but I knew what the code was.
You do have to cut, like, or one should approach a work on its own terms instead of like, well, but is it the ultimate truth of the universe? Because it's like, yeah, it is just a person writing it. It's not like they know.
And it's a work of fiction. And it's like, although, and that's the other thing is that like, I can't read self-help books. Like I don't.
Whereas I like, I love self-help
books. I can't stand self-help books. I don't know why.
Not all self-help books, but I do generally.
You don't like Lean In?
Like reading them. in fairness, I've never tried to read Lean In.
I don't know. Like, I just.
So, yeah, this is a very, like, subjective, like, even more so than the genre we generally cover as a whole. Like,
yes.
And the story to Sati is pretty thin. I could use more of a story personally, but I just, I'm like, a warm little bath for me. Like,
oh, the bath. I mean, and then you realize the water's warm and it's always been warm.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why those like larger. I
was in one moment where I was like, all right, book, was when she's like cracking up at her own joke.
Oh my God.
She's like, why would a bubble be filled with air?
And then everyone can't help but laugh.
What the fuck?
And everyone's like, oh my God, it is so funny. We can't help but laugh also. And I was like, I guess. I don't know.
It's not, though. I mean, maybe you're laughing because she's laughing and it's just maybe like, it's why are you laughing so much?
Yeah. And then it's like her face was red for like pages from how funny
and I was like,
what?
God, you have a terrible sense of humor. That was not funny. It's not that funny.
You know what? She can see some humor that we are just not seeing because she's God.
That's what it is. This is like 4D humor.
Yes.
And 4D I can only humor. See in 3D.
Okay. So I have what's on Goodreads, which is.
It's probably the same as the copy I read.
Really weird. okay. I'll just
read. Oh, is it the like little.
Yeah, but it keeps saying Sati over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll read it just if we want. I'm going to skip this first thing. But Michael picks up a young hitchhiker in the Arizona desert, bringing her home and letting her sleep on his couch. The next day, she talks about being God and strange things begin to happen to everyone coming in contact with her. .. I think that's where it should end. But then it says, Sati. I once knew this girl who thought she was God. She didn't give sight to the blind or raise the dead. She didn't even teach anything, not really. And she never told me anything I probably didn't already know. Sati. On the other hand, she didn't expect to be worshipped, nor did she ask for money. Given her high opinion of herself, some might call that a miracle. Sati. I don't know. Maybe she was God. Her name was Sati. I think there's some like formatting problem. And she had blonde hair and blue eyes. Sati. For all who meet her, Sati will change everything. Sati may change everything for you.
Here's a better description.
Please.
And I don't, this isn't the description on the back of my book, but it gives the plot better. And from Publishers Weekly. Does God exist? Is she a blonde, blue-eyed woman named Sati encountered hitchhiking in the Arizona desert where she is picked up by Michael, a long-haul trucker at odds with life? The questions crystallize back in Los Angeles at the trucker's ramshackle apartment when Sati declares she is the deity and sets about proving it. No miracles, but changes come about for a motley cast, a dying AIDS victim, a drug dealer, sort of, a fundamentalist preacher-ish, Michael's estranged wife and their little daughter. Each is attracted to Sosti's beautiful simplicity, though they confront and challenge her. When her life is terminated violently, wow, give away the ending, they realize she had given us a taste of, quote, given us a taste of our inner silence, a taste of ourselves. The ancient hope for redemption is recast in this sprightly contemporary parable, the first adult novel from a best-selling author of young adult fiction.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that is pretty accurate, yeah.
Yeah, so just like a quick rundown of the plot. And
I liked the beginning, actually.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I want more of the story.
I liked the story.
I like the characters.
I just didn't need all the lectures. They're a little stereotypical,
but that's okay. I mean, they're still like, they're fully realized emotionally, mm-hmm. even if like they're drawn in kind of a surface level stereotype.
Yeah, like if we were to describe them, it would sound stereotypical, but when you read it, it's not.
They feel like
real people. Because they feel lived in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, but if you were to say to somebody like, hey, what do you think happens with the gay character? Do you think that they have AIDS and die? You're correct. Hey, what do you think is up with the black character? Do you think he, you know, grew up with a single mom and had a gang past and dealt drugs for a while? Yep. That is mm-hmm. also the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what do you think happens with the white characters? That they have a variation of backgrounds? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this was published in 91.
Yeah. And I think it's like commendable that he had a diverse cast.
Yeah.
In that time. Oh, yeah. And hey, what do you think happens with the Mexican character? Do you think that she's an undocumented immigrant and that she's Catholic and...
And she's like quiet
and having
actually,
a baby
I would
out
say
of
her character is not anything.
Also, she's like barely in it.
Yeah, she's barely in it. So it's like she's not as fleshed out because she's like not really.
She's
there.
Not one of the main characters.
Right.
She's
right.
She's Nick's mostly girlfriend, off page. Who is the black character with a gang past
and a big
but
scar.
It's like personalities Omar. Offset the stereotypical nature of their background.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's that.
Yeah. And I liked their relationships. Like, I liked that they were a little family, and I thought that was sweet.
And it's the white rich guy who's the bad guy.
He was bad.
Like, but also, you know, bad but not evil. Like, he's the villain of the piece in that he kills Sati, but it's also because he was, like, trying to prove she was God to himself, because he's kind of, like, freaking out about all the feelings that her like meditations brought up within himself of like, oh, if this is what really matters, why have I been just chasing money? And I kind of feel like shit about it. And so I need to know whether she's God or not.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the best way to deal with those feelings.
No.
But he's not evil. He's not like arch evil.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He's flawed.
He's a very flawed.
He's
more
flawed
than others.
Manslaughterer.
Yeah. Or like second degree murder or something.
Yeah.
But he does murder Sati. And it's also like
her orange juice with cyanide because he wants to see whether or not she can live.
And it's also based off of a mishearing too, because she was like, I can almost drink poison. And he hears from someone else that
She said
can.
She could drink poison.
Yeah. And no one corrected it. And so he was like, okay, I guess she can drink poison.
It's like, let's see if that's true. If she said it, have her prove it.
Yeah.
And I think he must have really believed that she would live through it, because he wasn't just like willing to kill her. It wasn't nothing to him that she would die. He's sad that he did it.
He's freaked out. Yeah.
He's really freaked out.
I really liked the beginning part. I really liked, and I was like very sucked into it. Like, it's this trucker guy and he's going through a divorce and he has a little kid and he picks up Sati. Yeah. And there's something interesting about her. I think it's when I fell off was just during those really long lecture discussion things. Like,
sure. And it kind of stops being a story at that point. Or much of a story.
Right, because it's more just like discussing things. And then we get back to the story and I was like back into it and when things were happening. Because like also, it was so funny, right as I texted you about like the lecture stuff, I got to the part where the freaking priest is like, let's prove it. And I was like, oh my God. Like, freak, get away. And I love that everyone's like, oh my God, stop. What are you doing? And even the old lady that brought him is like, no.
Did not see this coming.
I know. So what I'm talking about is, so there's like a series of lectures that she keeps having.
Yeah, she's leading meetings. And meetings. She does have very Mother God vibes.
And that was the other thing. I just kept thinking of Mother God. Yeah. And then literally at the end, it said Mother Sati. And I was like, oh my God.
It is. It's Mother God. If Amy Carlson were actually God, which
yeah,
she was
maybe.
Not. I mean, she also got poisoned.
She did,
but slowly colloidal and over silver. Time, and also by herself.
And alcohol.
Yeah, colloidal silver is what. Yeah, and alcohol. I think her liver was failing as well, but the colloidal silver did not help.
No, she literally turned blue.
Yeah. The fact that they kept giving it to her when she was turning blue is wild. Because they like say in the beginning of the documentary, by the way, there's the documentary is called Love.
Love has won.
Love has won. The cult. That was the name of the cult. They say in the beginning, they're like, it only turns you blue if you're using it wrong. But then they keep giving it to her.
And she's literally
blue.
And
it's like, well, then you're using it wrong. You're giving her way too much. But they're telling themselves, well, it's because she's God. She can take that much and she needs that much.
And also, but this is the other thing. It's that like she at one point stops being able to feed herself, move around or do anything. And then at one point she was like, I think I need to go to the doctor. Yeah, and they were like, no. Them. So I think these people should be held accountable.
They are all interviewed by the police trying to figure out what happened. No one really suffers consequences is kind of wild, but they can't really. It's like, according to them, that she begged to go to a hospital. Like, all of the evidence points to her choosing this demise. So I don't know. But that the one dude is under house arrest the whole time. So maybe something happens with him. I don't know.
That documentary
is fucking wild.
It's also really interesting, too, because most documentaries are like interviewing people who are like, yeah, I got out of it. That was crazy. But these people are still in it. They're like completely convinced. I'm like, stop calling her mom. Yeah,
and then mom died, and that was really hard on all of us.
Well, her vessel died. She's
back. Yeah, her vessel died, and we knew we couldn't take her to a 3D hospital. And blah, 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 3D hospital. 3D hospital, 3D medicine, 3D doctors. And I'm like, what is this 3D? What are you talking about?
And the fact that they were transporting her dead body for like a week. I was like, what is going on?
And they're all saying, and she was still warm and she was still registering like
electromagnetic charge. Oh my God, the electromagnetic thing.
I'm like, okay, guys, whatever you're telling yourself is like fucking bonkers.
But I feel like
the fact that they all still believe it and they all kind of like are still following her.
Yes, her teachings.
And her teachings are fucking crazy. She says she's cute at one point.
Yes.
She says she's cute.
Robin Williams talks through her.
And that Robin, yeah, Robin Williams is one of the like fucking ancients that they consult all the time. I mean, so unfair to do that to Robin Williams.
I know. Leave him out.
Leave him out of this.
But then also they're like, and Trump? And I'm like, but he's alive. Like,
no, stop. But you've lost me. I might have been along for the colloidal silver bullshit, but maybe I'd have been there drinking it with you and starving myself. But as soon as you're like, oh, and Robin Williams is telling us that Trump is one of us. I'm like, no.
I'm going to peace out.
I'm gone. Yeah.
Like, it was also so interesting, too, because like she... Oh my God, sorry, I just got distracted by when they show like her poster board that she made. It's just like cutouts of like the different people.
So embarrassing. The most low rent
so religion. Bad.
Like
so bad.
I would say like because the twin flame people aren't exactly a religion. They're more like a multi-level marketing scheme.
They're MLM, but also like love. A state of mind.
Yeah.
They're like life coaches.
Yes. She is like truly saying she's God. Oh my God, the fucking reveal like episode 4 that she actually has children.
I couldn't believe she had kids.
I was shocked.
And that she fucking ditched her kids to do this. A lot of those people seemed like good kids.
I don't know. I don't know why she did this, but I'm trying to like forgive her. And they seem like so
therapized.
The grandma did a good job. I know. Raising them.
I know.
I guess.
That she, it was really interesting seeing like the, because it's interesting seeing like the pathology of like different cults and like the members of those cults. Like, why do they turn to this? Why do they believe this? It really seems like this cult is just, you know, when people like permatrip, it's just a bunch of those people. Like, it's a bunch of people who did the wrong kind or amount or combination of psychedelics and just
and then kept doing them,
being in that state.
And I think that that is what they're doing. Aren't they just constantly?
They're constantly high. Yeah.
Taking drugs. Yeah.
Yeah. And drunk. I mean, she's always drinking.
She is like hardcore. I don't know. I just would have trouble believing that my God is an alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, and like also just seeing the videos too.
Like, I don't think my God needs that. And the story they're telling themselves is like, well, she needs it to deal with the intense, like, negative vibrational energy of being on Earth. And I'm like, but she's
God. So just like deal with, like, and then also.
So like, whereas Sati in the book is like, I can
deal with anything.
Like, you can't upset me. I can deal with anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I can almost drink poison. She can drink sour milk.
She can, and she won't get sick.
We know that.
But she can't drink cyanide.
Straight up cyanide. Yeah.
Yeah. Love is One is on HBO, I think.
Yeah. Max.
Oh, I'm never going to call it that. I'm sorry.
I know, it's like calling Twitter X.
Yeah.
I can't.
But yeah, in this, Sati's like,
it's all happening.
In this, Sati's like very calm, very like, it felt like Mother God, but then also not. Like, it would be if Mother God, if she was actually saying anything of substance, because like,
yeah,
for Mother God, she's just like drunkenly raving about shit, and everyone's like, "Wow, amazing!"
And she's like yelling at them constantly and throwing things up at them, and they're like, "Yeah, it was sometimes hard to take Mom's fits of rage." And I'm like, "What the fuck?
I know.
How did you ever think that this was God?" But I guess God in the Bible is pretty angry.
Oh, Old Testament God, scary.
New Testament God, not really present.
Not really. It's more about his son, I guess.
More about Jesus.
But yeah, so the thing that we're talking about is like, so she's having these like meetings, and the woman who owns the apartment or runs the, or she's like
the manager. She's the manager.
Manager of the apartment building. She's Christian.
I really appreciated, so okay, so Michael is the main character. He went to high school with David, who owns the apartment complex and a lot of other properties and is wealthy and is the guy who eventually poisoned Sati. And then he also went to high school with Nick, who is the black character with the gang background who builds beautiful fireplaces. And he lives in the apartment building as well.
Right? Yeah.
Does Nick live there?
Yes, he lives downstairs.
Yeah, Nick lives there with Mary. And then Timmy? Timmy is the gay character who is dying of AIDS.
Yeah, he lives like across the way.
And he lives there too. And he is supposedly the handyman of the apartment building. Mm-hmm. And David, for all that he is like obsessed with wealth, lets all of his friends live there very cheaply. And pays Mrs. Hutchinson to be the manager, even though she's like, she has very bad arthritis, can't move around very well, and pays Timmy to be the electrician, handyman guy, even though like he's so sick that he can't do any work. And so basically he is like just running this like charity house for his pals and people he cares for. So he is like a very loving person. And is always making sure that, and is always trying to make sure that Timmy is taking good care of himself and is like very concerned about his health. And so,
yeah, he's really very loyal to his friends. Mm-hmm. He just wants
to make a lot of
greedy about money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Complicated.
Yeah. But so it's Mrs. Hutchinson, who's very, very devoutly Christian, hates that Sati is saying she's God, and brings her new minister to the meeting, Reverend Green.
Mm-hmm. He's a real freak,
I think. Who turns out to be a real freak.
Yeah, he has a suitcase he comes in with, and he's like, first he's just like being very challenging and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, prove it. What if I Because she's like, I could be.
Yeah, if you can withstand suffering.
Yeah, she's like, I could be
nailed. Or he's like, but Jesus suffered for our sins. And she's like, I didn't suffer. And he's like, you're saying you're Jesus. And she's like.
And she's like, I could be nailed to a cross smiling. And then he's like, prove it. And he gets on a hammer and a nail.
Big old nail.
And he's like, I'm going to hammer your hand. And everyone's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
And they're like, bro. And he's like, I'll do it.
And she's like, do it.
Yeah,
do
she's
it.
Like, do
let
it.
Him. I will
let
smile. Him. I'm going to smile right through it. And I do believe she would have smiled through it.
I think she would have.
But the point is that she knew he would never do it. And that her telling him to do it would completely unmake him.
Yeah. And it does. He like which loses his mind, leaves the church, just becomes a...
In the best way. Like he like loses his religion essentially and just becomes like an actually good person.
He like focuses more on... Because the thing was that... Even though he was like fundamentalist Christian, he did care about.
He did good work.
Yeah. Like care about like kids and like trying to help people. And I think once he like removed that aspect of it.
Yeah. The dogma. Yeah.
He was able to just be like a surfing guy that has a charity.
Yeah. Cool surfer dude who runs a halfway house for children.
Great.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. But yeah, so that moment is really interesting. That definitely spices up the meetings.
Yeah, and so I think, like, I kind of got back on board at that point. And then there was, like, more story. And then there was, like, some more lecturing. And then I was like, okay, I'm not, like, that much into that. So I was fine. And then I think overall I did like this book because it was, you know, it was inoffensive. Like, it wasn't, like, I wasn't like, oh, this is a bad book.
Yeah, it's not. I think it could use a little more story. Yeah.
And I liked the story that was there. I
think her teachings are a little... what? Basic?
Yeah.
I don't know. But basic is fine. There's nothing wrong with basic. I was like really glad that I reread it because I was like, yeah, I needed to be reminded of some of this stuff. Yeah.
I mean, and this was the other thing. Like, I didn't necessarily agree with like... 100% of the teachings, but that doesn't make it bad. You know, like I was just like, oh, yeah. I just don't ascribe to this, but it was a fine text. It's not so much so that I'd be like, oh, someone is idiotic for believing this. You know, it's not like.
Yeah, it's just about meditating.
Yeah.
I'm just like. And find like being still and quiet and reconnect and grounding yourself. So it's like, ain't nothing wrong with
and
that.
And how healing, because it can be healing to like. Be still and quiet. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. And people in the meetings are like particularly Michael's ex-wife, Linda, or almost ex-wife. Linda is asking her all these questions like, well, but what about this and what about that? And I get a lot of good out of visualizing. And Sati's like, great. You don't actually need to visualize anything, but if that's what helps you, go for it.
Yeah,
it's just about sitting and being quiet.
I did actually really like that conversation because I actually, that part I do ascribe to where it's like, if it works for you, then do it. And
yeah,
what she was really wanting to hear was what is correct. And it's like, well, there is no correct. I don't know. It's like, if you like it, then do it. It's not necessary. I don't think everybody has to do it. But like, if you like it, then it does have value. And I do really believe like that. So I liked that part because Lori, is that her name? Linda. Lori's that other girly. Yeah.
Lori. Oh, I forgot about Fred and Lori entirely. I didn't even listen.
I know.
Fred is like a teenager who delivers papers and is in this loveless relationship with this other teenager, Lori, who, doesn't really care about him, sleeps with other people, and is trying to sleep with Michael. And then eventually because she is sort of brought to a higher level of maturity by listening to Sati's teachings, fully commits to Fred and the relationship, but it brings a lot of fighting between them. And Fred's like, whoa.
I know.
But it is like ultimately good and they figure out that they love each other even though they fight. And
I don't know. I don't think they should be together.
It doesn't seem like so great, but like he loves her and I guess she cares about him and they're finding something that works.
Yeah.
But it definitely doesn't seem like they need to stay together.
You could, I think maybe you should just be friends.
Like, go find somebody who, like, truly loves you. Yeah, who
treats you nicely.
Yeah. So that's a little funny. That is funny. I appreciated sort of the, like, smallness of a story about God, where it's like she just, like, showed up to
for these people,
to this one particular group of people, and especially Michael. And I kind of, like, really just liked that she was like, yeah, I came here for you. And he was like, why? And she was like, well, why are you holding on to Linda? And he, like, has this whole realization that he started dating Linda right after his mom died in high school, and that it helped him get through losing his mom. And so now if he loses Linda, it's like losing his mom all over again. And Sati's like, but you never lost me. I'm here. I'm your mom. I'm your ultimate mother. And she just, like, gives him a big hug, and he cries it out. And it's, like, just, like, really small and quiet and nice, but, like, life-changing for him. And that's what he needed. I liked his little dream that he had.
Oh, I loved the dream.
When Sati was there, it's just, like, really sweet.
Yeah, it's just him and his friends playing Little League and, like, eating hot dogs at a cookout afterwards. And his mom is there cheering him on and
Yeah, he has a dream that they're all little kids in a, like, little league. Him, Nick, and David, and Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And that David is always on the opposing team. And the mom is like, well, you should invite him to play on your team now and then.
Yeah. And then at the end, when they're all hanging out, he's like, oh, I forgot that he was on the other, that I was mad at him.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
And it's just this nice little metaphor. I don't know.
It's a little allegory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice. I also like how small it was. Like, I don't like when stories are too big, especially when it then also concerns, like, general philosophical, metaphysical stuff, where I'm just like, I need some connection to humanity and humans for me to care. Or you know, I don't know, like, personalities or something. And so I liked that. Even though it was a story about God coming back, we saw how it affected just these people's lives. It wasn't like a mass healing thing or, you know.
Yeah, it was more like God came back to make some small correctional ripples.
Mm-hmm.
She just came to, like, affect this little group, and then hopefully that group affects their group and then that group. And just, like, it kind of, like, is a story about how, like, if you improve your vibes, it'll improve the vibes of those around you. And that's why social media is bad.
Yeah. I will say I...
Because all it does is what is the word? The opposite of improve.
Oh.
Makes the vibes deteriorate.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the opposite of improve?
I kept wanting to say disprove.
Yeah. Or, like, deprove. But it's like improve, deprove. Just make worse.
Yep.
I will say I didn't love that, like, Timmy didn't want to keep living. Like, I felt like that.
I think the message gets a little muddy there. It's like, I think it could have been clearer, not that he was like, I don't want to keep living. I think the intention was more like a respect of the life cycle.
Yeah, I think it's just tricky when you have a gay character dying of AIDS.
That's the
who's
thing.
Who's like,
yeah.
I've, like, being a martyr basically for this story about straight people. Like, it just felt like that to me. I was like, it just,
the optics, yeah, aren't,
the optics
great
aren't great. There, but yeah. I think that's something that is a 2000s onward sensibility and not a 1991 sensibility.
Yeah, that's us looking through the 2024 lens, not the 1990 lens.
Yeah.
1991 lens. This is a huge improvement on gay stories.
Yeah. But yeah, so that part I was really sad when he died. I was really, really sad when he died.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I would have been as frustrated as Linda. Of everyone just being like, just let her, you know, heal him. And it's like, but she's not. I think I would have been really frustrated. Because I agree that, like, a great healing thing for grief and losing someone is realizing that, like,
all life
ends. Yeah, all life ends. And, like, also that, like, because we've had each other in one moment, we've always had each other, and that's, like, really beautiful. But I'm like, don't fucking tell me that when my friend literally just died. Like, literally just died. Moments ago, like, we watched him die.
Ultimately, that might carry me through.
Yeah, like months later.
That's not what I need.
Right now, I want to be fucking sad about my friend dying.
That's a later discussion. Yeah.
Because also, I mean, and maybe it's just that kind of thing doesn't work for me for grief. Like, and it works for others, but, like, it doesn't really...
I don't think anybody wants to hear that right away.
Yeah, like, you that watch your, like, friend take their last death-rattling, like,
the light goes, breath. Yeah.
And then they're like, but you've always had him, and life does end for all of us. We all do die. And I'd be like, shut the fuck up! Shut up!
It's... or, like, also what Michael didn't need to hear in that moment from the Lord was... was Timmy's last wishes were to see his mom again. Oh my God, that. And she comes out and he's like, but he didn't get to talk to his mom again. Like, she's on the phone now, and but he just missed her. That's so tragic. And she's like, he saw his mom. He saw me.
I'd be like, pfft. Yeah. No, I mean, I literally would have punched her in the face instantly. Well, because that was like Mother God energy to me. Because it's like,
that was serious.
Because also that,
it's like, mom doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I matter. It's, like, very, like, centered on your experience.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because also in the...
It's like, no, he said he wanted to see his mom.
He said he wanted to see his mom, and that was what he wanted to see, but he didn't. He saw you.
That's okay if, like, when we're having, like, as if I'm Michael, we're having that discussion later, Sati, and I'm talking about it feels like re-losing my mom, who I lost a million years ago, and you're, like my mother figure in comforting me, fine. It's been many, many years.
It's been like 20
years. The immediate death of Timmy.
Immediately.
This is not comforting.
No. When also...
he wanted to see his fucking biological earth mother.
Yeah. Well, and also, wasn't it also that, like, he went out and then he comes... that's how he learns she's he's dead. She's like, he died. And he's like, oh, but I have her on the phone. Like, I
have her on the phone.
And she's like, he did see his mother. It was me. Like, that... I would exactly that. I would instantly punch her in the fucking face.
Fuck the fuck off, Sati. Like, even if you are God, fuck off right, like, now. Because I'm having earth problems.
Yeah.
You're coming to me with, like, universe solutions for earth problems. Yeah. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. Because also, like, I think I'm also of the inclination that, like, everything matters.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
That, I think that's how I feel too. That's why it's like, okay, we will talk.
Like, yes.
I'll come to that eventually. Sure.
Yeah.
Fine. He's God. I'm God. We're all God. Great.
Fucking fine.
Right now I'm sad. Yeah. fine. But I'm sad. Yeah. Let me be sad.
And also, like, this little thing of me losing my friend conceptually in the universe still happened. Like, there is no, like, bigger or smaller matter.
And it's like, this is
my reality right now.
According to you, this is what I came to Earth to experience. I need to experience it as an Earthling, not as the ultimate being.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I'm not there right now.
Certainly not right now.
My vibration is low. It's here. I need here level comfort.
And also, like, you literally just told me he died in the same sentence.
Yeah.
Like,
I've
just found out that he's dead.
Fuck off.
And I've been watching him dying for hours.
Yeah. And ultimately, I've been watching him dying for years.
For years.
And you just showed up.
You just fucking got here, babe.
You don't even go here.
So that moment, like, truly, I just
I was like, shut the fuck up, God.
Shut the fuck up. Shut. Yeah, I would have freaked out. Really freaked out in that moment.
It's like, yes, this was a weeks later conversation.
Talk to me weeks later.
In that moment, she just been like, I know, I'm so sorry, but he's gone.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
And just hold him.
Let him cry. Yes. Big hug. Let him cry. Yes. And then weeks later, we'll have the whole discussion about how, like, but don't worry. Like, because he
did see his mom.
He was with me. He was with me. And he found that to be enough in that moment. And then that is like, yeah, okay.
Right.
But right away, no, absolutely not. You should have more emotional intelligence for being God.
Well, that's the thing. She's God. It's very like Dr. Manhattan. Like, I'm like,
yes.
I'm like,
yes.
I don't,
on the moon.
You're
not
on
concerned.
The moon right now. Your God is showing. I'm sorry. Like, this is a...
Your God privilege is
showing. I literally just lost my friend. Oh, there was something else. Something else. Oh, I was happy that Michael was able to also recognize at the end, because this whole time he's like trying to get this business loan and like do this trucking thing, because he deep down thinks that if he gets this right, he'll get Linda back.
Yeah. That it's about money.
Yeah. But it's not about money.
And success, but it's not. And like, we never meet Dick, but I do not understand what Linda sees in him. Because it sounds like he's awful. If Jenny doesn't like him, if your child doesn't like your new partner, that is huge red flag.
Huge.
To me.
Huge.
And I mean, I know that like
Zoom just did this.
Fucking Zoom. Stop it.
Just give a thumbs
Apple
up.
Or whatever it is. Don't fucking I think I not once is it appropriately done the thumbs up bubble.
No.
Because I'm never going like,
yay!
And then, boom.
But it didn't even do it. What did you do? Is it this?
It only does it if, like, the thumb
Wait,
is, like,
do your finger Do two fingers up? Because I know when Ryan does two fingers up, all the balloons come down.
Oh, maybe it's double?
What did you do? You were, like, talking. You were doing something with your hand.
I think I was, like, doing, like, a, almost like a listing of
Yeah, things. One, two, three. Whatever.
And I lost my train.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Oh, if your child doesn't like your new partner.
Oh, yeah. I know that, like, particularly older kids and teenagers are going to be...
They come into it, I'm not going to like them.
Resistant. Yes. But there's a difference between I miss my real parent and I don't like this person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny seems like she generally is, like, a very...
She's a pretty open kid.
Warm kid, yeah. Open to new friends, open to, like, adults coming in and out of her life in general. Like, it seems like she's got a good read on people. Maybe listen to your daughter.
Yeah.
The fact that she doesn't want you to, she doesn't like this person. Yeah. It's not just about losing her dad. It's that she seems not to like Dick.
Well, also.
Why is Linda marrying Dick? I
well, also,
know.
Dick, remember when, like, she brings Dick to one of the meetings? And then she ends up not going again because she's like, oh, Dick doesn't like it. And I'm like, well, what the fuck does that matter? You like it. You can go.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to.
Or it's like seems like worse almost. She's like, I didn't want Dick ruining this for me.
Yeah, well, she was like.
And it's like, wow, he can't even like support you going to the meetings without him.
Yeah.
Like, I forget what the exact deal was. Like. They're in, like, couples counseling. You're not even married yet.
I know. I know. What are you? What is this? My last marriage?
Look, I understand that you. My last one.
My last marriage?
My previous
marriage.
My
previous marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. So even though we don't really get to know Dick, I don't like him.
What's to like?
And I don't understand what Linda's problem is. What else happens in this book? Not that much.
No, it's mostly just discussions.
Oh. Like three wise. Oh. Mm.
I didn't love three that because the Gandhi thing, her. I was like, he's racist. It felt weird.
Well, I think he's supposed to be like the Dalai Lama.
Oh, really? I thought he was Gandhi.
No, Gandhi's dead. Gandhi's been dead.
Was he dead in the 90s?
Yeah.
When did Gandhi die?
Wasn't he? I don't think he's supposed to be Gandhi. I think he's supposed to be the Dalai Lama.
Was the Dolly? Oh my God! 1948.
Yeah, he's of a very different period of history.
He was born in 1869.
Was he Gandhi?
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm gonna look up who was the Dalai Lama in 1990. If it was the same, Tenzin Gyatso. So that's the other thing. In the book, he's Indian.
Well, it just says, like, he thinks he knows who it is. It doesn't actually
say. No, but
say
it says that he speaks in Indian, in Hindu, at one point. So I was like, speaks in some Indian language, probably Hindu. So I was like, right. But that's not the same. So I didn't know who he was.
Because I think he is, the Dalai Lama now was the Dalai Lama in the 90s, right?
Well, I'm looking. Tenzin Gyatso.
Predecessor.
Tenzin Gyatso was in office from 1963 to 13 June 1991. So it was the 14th Dalai Lama. Oh, it's the same guy.
But the 13th, that's what I'm saying. The 13th Dalai Lama died in 1933. They didn't find, new Dalai Lama wasn't born until 1940
until present. Wait, so it says reign 22 February 1940 to present. So he was,
or maybe he was,
the Dalai Lama since he was a baby? Do I not understand?
I don't know what his date of birth is. When was he born?
I don't know, but it says his reign.
He was selected.
Born 6 July 1935.
In 1937. So no, he's older than that. His reign began in 1940. He wasn't born in 1940.
Okay, but get this. He was born on 6 July 1935. Okay?
Yeah.
So 1935, he was born, and his reign was in 1940. So he was 5 years old when he began being the Dalai Lama. Yeah. What the fuck?
Well, he was actually only two. He was selected How? When he was two.
How?
I don't know. And then assumed full temporal, aka political duties. I'm just reading off Wikipedia.
Yeah.
At 15 in 1950.
Okay.
So like somebody else was like, running Dalai Lama things.
Okay. Running Dalai Lama things.
I don't
But
I don't
how
know
do they know if you're
are.
A baby?
So I don't know.
There's him as a child.
There's some thing. I don't know what the whole...
The Panchen Lama had been investigating births of unusual children in the area since the death of the 13th Dalai Lama. Three boys he discovered and identified as candidates...
Oh, the Dalai Lama is head of state of Tibet? I did not know that. I didn't know very little about that.
Two
Dalai
of his
Lama.
Three candidates were crossed off the list, but the third, a fearless child, the most promising, was from Toxter Village, which, as in the vision, was on a hill at the end of a trail leading to Toxter from the Great Khumbu Monastery. They found a house where he lived, and then they just picked him.
It is the Tulku tradition, a distinctive and significant aspect of Tibetan Buddhism, embodying the concept of enlightened beings taking corporeal forms to continue the lineage of specific teachings.
Okay, and then get this.
Referred to an emperor or ruler taking human form on earth, divine incarnation, originated in Tibet.
So for this, how they picked him was they had a team of Buddhist monks came, and the leader, Sera Lama, pretended to be a servant, and he sat separately in the kitchen. And he held an old mala that had belonged to the 13th Dalai Lama. And the boy, age two, approached and asked for it. The monk said, "If you know who I am, you can have it." And the child said, "Sera Lama, Sera Lama," and spoke to him with a Lhasa accent in a dialect the boy's mother could not understand. Then they returned again and had their real purpose, and they wanted to give him tests. They would show him pairs of objects, one of which belonged to the 13th Dalai Lama and one which had not. And in every case, he chose the Dalai Lama's own objects and rejected the others. See, here's the thing.
That's fun. So you have to do freaky
Yeah, you
shit.
Have to do like little, like, does the...
little ghost
does
child
Does the child
shit.
Choose the sword, the globe, like, or the thing?
Do they seem to remember things about their previous life in which they were... so-and-so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so then he... Yeah, okay. So then when he was four,
that's fun.
He got a monastic name. And then he did his final exam at 23, and then he got the awards, and then now he's the Dalai Lama.
One of three supposed reincarnated Rinpoches in the same family.
Yeah, they had narrowed it down to three kids.
Yeah. They knew it was there. Also, I was talking to somebody about this when I went to a meditation talk, and they were saying, like, the previous person, like, leaves a letter.
Whoa.
Saying where the next person is going to be.
I think in this one there was, like, a vision.
I don't know if that's the case with the Dalai Lama, but it was the case with the, like, Shambhala Rinpoche.
In this one, I think it was a vision that, but maybe he wrote it in a letter where he's like, it's going to be here and it's going to look like this and it's going to be this gilded roof and blah, blah, blah. He's a cute little baby. He looks like, it's so funny, like seeing a picture of him as a little child, he looks very similar to how he looks now.
Yeah, he really looks like himself. Yeah. He also looks dazed.
Very dazed and out of it.
He's like, hello? What am I doing here? Amongst other omens.
Here, weren't people trying to cancel the Dalai Lama? Do you remember that?
Were they? Yeah.
Because he was asking some kid to suck his tongue.
Oh, yes. Or something weird with a tongue. Yeah.
Well, he stuck out his tongue and he said, can you kiss my tongue to the little kid?
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great. It's weird.
It's weird.
But I think he's just weird.
Like a strange kid. But he's like...
No.
Dude was chosen as like a three-year-old.
No. He did this as an adult man now.
No. I'm saying he was chosen as a three-year-old and has lived a very unusual life since then. Yes. So he like may not understand what is normal.
I know. And I feel like everything he does, everyone's like that's acceptable. Amazing. You know what I mean? He's surrounded by yes men.
Yeah, probably.
I just can't imagine. Has he actually said stuff that's wise?
I've never read a Dalai Lama book.
Because I just can't imagine, like,
I think it's
being told always that everything I say is wise and, like, teachable, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine what this would do to your brain to be told that this is who you are your entire life.
Your entire life, that you were that you are a reincarnation. That's wild.
I'm like, look, I'm not saying I know that he isn't, but still, even if he is, that would change your brain.
Like Elf King.
Yes, exactly.
Compassion for animals. A Marxist. I mean, I agree with him on a lot of stuff. Oh, interesting.
I mean, I think he's basically saying what Satya is saying. Just like love and joy.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I could say that.
Yeah, I could say that. I could so start a
Mother Lindsay.
You're really good at it.
Mother Lindsay.
I would choose a fun new name too.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I wouldn't just Mother Lindsay.
Andromeda. Mother Andromeda. Hello, welcome to Mother Andromeda.
I'm just picturing you like as a creepy spider lady.
Mother Andromeda home. Mother Andromeda.
What would your religion be?
My religion? I don't know. I have no desire to start a religion. Maybe it's like, I think it would just be called.
Okay, we know that you're Mother Andromeda.
I'm Mother Andromeda, but I think it would be called Just Be Here. It's like, I don't know, just like be here. You know, like in the world, just be in the world.
But you would call your religion?
Yeah,
it?
Just be here. What, like all Andromedism?
Right. Yeah, something like that.
Andromedism.
Or.
I'm not good at copy editing. We know this.
Sure you are. You're a good writer. You'd be, okay, Mother Andromeda, and your religion is, you teach the Galaxinas.
The followers of the Galaxinas?
The Galaxinas.
Or is that the doctrine?
The volumes of the Galaxinas.
Okay.
Your doctrine is called, like, or you teach the Galaxinas. That's your, like, scriptures are called the Galaxinas.
Okay, so my texts.
And, yeah, your texts are the Galaxinas, and your religion is, I was going to say your religion is called Galax, which is very funny because I called something in my unannounced show the Galax Institute.
Oh, really? That's funny. So it's just like top of mind.
I walked my way back to something that already existed in my brain. All right. So your pupils are called Star Children.
Oh, Star Childs.
She calls herself the Starlight Crystal in this.
She does. I saw that.
Which gets brought back because that first appears as a video game in Christopher Pike's See You Later. And then it is the title, obviously, of his book that brought us together to do this podcast.
Isn't it also a book?
Crystal.
Like the name of
a
book?
In that book?
In a book? Is it a book or is it a video game?
It's a video game in See You Later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
It's the video game that he, Mark, wrote. Or made? Wrote? I don't know. Programmed. Mark programmed the Starlight Crystal in See You Later, and it is the title of the book that we realized we were both fans of and that started this podcast.
The Starlight Crystal. Gave me such existential freakoutism when I was a child, but I liked stuff like that. I liked stuff that made me freak out when I was a kid.
Well, the Starlight Crystal is basically Christopher Pike's Siddhartha. Mm-hmm.
I loved that book. I think that was like a perfect combination of story and also like
philosophy.
Because it wasn't a person philosophizing. It was like a really good allegory.
Well, she was very often philosophized too.
That's true. That's true. But like,
and then she in the end is like
she becomes
doing that. Yeah.
Man, I remember being so disturbed by the book. I still remember like laying like because I would like lay on the ground in my childhood bedroom and like read Christopher Pike books, that and Scavenger Hunt, be like so scared reading these books. This book was not scary. Sati was not scary at all. There's no horror elements at all.
I never found Starlight Crystal scary, but I read it when I was older.
I read it probably when I was like eight or nine, and I was scared more by the like because Tem gets exploded. And I was
there are violent parts to
I think book. I was just like disturbed by the fact that like it there's no escape from that, because like when she comes back she comes back and she realizes he exploded, and I remember just being like, what the fuck, that can happen to a main character?
I think it was 96, so that means I was reading it when it was new.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Because I was already reading them by that point. So how old was I? March 1st, 96.
You are 6 years older than me, and I was 8.
14.
Yeah.
I think I was 14. About to turn, let's see. I was 13, about to turn 14. Yeah.
Because I was 8 in that year. And I think I read it when I was 9 or 8. No, I would have been 9 because we were in the new house. Yeah.
I think I'm like overthinking the math. Because I think I'm bad at math, it makes me bad at math.
Well, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96.
I was 13, 96. About to turn 14.
Yeah, if I was 8 and you're 6 years older than me, though. So, yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, so I was not.
Imagine reading that at 9. Scared. I think you might have been more disturbed. Yeah, I read Monster at
like 9 or 10. Oh, I was so disturbed by that.
Yeah.
I mean, it opens with a girl shooting all her friends at a party.
So disturbing, but like so fun to read that
stuff. I love Monster. I would love to adapt Monster.
Mm.
It'd be a hard one, but.
I mean, I wanted to adapt Starlight Crystal, and that's also a very difficult, like, maybe impossible.
Hard.
Or can it be done?
It'd be hard.
It's
hard to tell a Buddha story.
Yeah. Or it's just.
Have you seen Little Buddha starring Keanu Reeves?
No. Is it old?
He's playing Buddha. It's 90s.
How weird.
I think it's called Little Buddha. Yeah, 93. It's about finding a reborn teacher.
Interesting.
But they flash back like to the actual, like to Siddhartha, and Keanu Reeves is playing Siddhartha.
Is it supposed to be funny?
No, 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 no. This is a very serious movie.
How weird.
Chris Isaac is in it. Bridget Fonda is in it.
Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the book. I mean, honestly, like, it was a pretty quick read, and it felt, like, very calming to read it. So if you're just, like, looking – if you're looking for –
I feel happier after I did,
too.
It.
Actually, I, like, woke up today with, like, a renewed sense of vigor. And maybe it's partially due to that. I don't know. My horoscope was also saying.
That'd be nice.
Like, that. You know what my horoscope said to me today, Lindsay?
What?
It said, I'll just read it to you. Because I was like, oh, my freaky.
Where do you usually get your horoscope?
I use Sanctuary. It's, like, shockingly accurate.
I was used to read Chani Nicholas?
Uh-huh.
But I stopped vibing with the horse or like being as impressed by the writing of them a while back. And then I realized that she wasn't the one writing them anymore. It's like somebody on staff.
Well, then
now,
that explains things.
No wonder.
Oh, actually this was yesterday's. And this was literally, Lindsay, like you and I having a discussion. Listen. Rediscovering your voice as Mercury and Chiron harmonize, a confidence in your creative talents returns. Express yourself. Imposter syndrome is real, but why compare yourself to others? Don't downplay your gifts. Your vision is unique. You're the only one who can tell your story.
Hell yeah.
And that was literally yesterday when like we were copyediting when I a was thing that I was you, yeah. trying to write like a bio type thing about myself.
I was like, yeah, you're not asking for a favor.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, what the freaky? Isn't that wild?
Here's my rising sign Scorpio daily horoscope from ChaniNicholas.com. Over the upcoming weeks, shine some love on your inner black sheep. No matter what your relationship is with your family, chosen family, or sense of home, send compassionate witnessing to any aspects of you that feel neglected. Give yourself permission to hash out underappreciated, brilliant ideas from your childhood, indulge in odd self-care rituals, or even temporarily distance yourself from those closest to you. Ladling sweetness onto your scrappier alter egos helps you integrate and reemerge radiantly whole.
That's so cute.
That is cute. Very sweet. Right? It's I don't know. I used to go, oh, yes, this
but
is.
But it doesn't feel.
This is me. This is right. But now I'm just like, well, that's like a lot of nice drivel.
Right. I thought it was sweet.
It is sweet. But I'm like, what are you actually talking about? It just got a
you
lot
know what?
More
it was
like,
a little bit hemming
like
and hawing.
Other sites.
It was trying to have two things because it was like, oh, like embrace that and like
my inner black.
Yeah.
Sheep.
And it's like, oh, reach out to people. But then also like maybe you need to not be near them. I'm like, well, then what is it? Because that seems like you're trying to have everyone. It'd be true for everyone.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't actually know what you're saying. And that's like been most horoscopes by my reaction to. And I never used to have that reaction to a Shawnee Nicholas horoscope. And now I do feel more that way.
Interesting.
And I think it's because there's somebody different writing them because she got so huge that she has a staff now.
Yeah.
And I just don't vibe with the new writer as much.
Dude, the video that I sent you, the woman, what was her name? It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. I started to watch some of her, but I didn't.
Did you not connect?
I wasn't connecting with it as much. Also, she like specifically target like singles.
Oh,
like these are for singles.
Weird, because mine was not about that.
I thought, oh, maybe you were watching. I think maybe her monthlies aren't.
Yeah,
but her weeklies are targeted really? To singles.
So that doesn't apply to me then.
There you go. But you were probably watching.
I only watched the monthly one.
Yeah. What was her name again? Oh yeah, Baba Jolie.
Baba Jolie. But because the monthly one to me seemed much more geared towards people in relationships. I was like, damn, what about people that are single?
Oh, yeah, because she does twin flame and.
She does twin flame?
Yeah, she uses the term twin flame. Interesting choice. Are you a part of that? Is Baba Jolie a part of the twin flame universe?
No way.
I don't know, but she says twin flame in all of her videos.
But. Remember how twin flame, like celebrities were using that term before too?
It is. It's a. I'm not saying for sure, but it
maybe
begs the question.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Is she a twin flame
Scorpio,
person?
Scorpio, a moment in the soul can last forever. The inner battle to let love win. Which cult are you a part of?
Love has won. Mother God,
and twin flame.
Damn,
this woman is having it all.
you really can have it all.
you really can be all of it.
You really can be in every single cult. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, everybody. We hope that you enjoyed the episode. I would say recommend this book.
Yeah. If you like self-help and you like reading about meditation, you will like this book, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
We really appreciate everybody. Thank you to our Patreon listeners, patreon.com/teencreeps. We have a lot of cool stuff. For example, you can see us and you can see us in your home because if you join Patreon, you can then see ghosts and we're ghosts in your home.
We appear in your home through astral projection for the right amount of money.
For the right amount of money, baby. And there's also tons of other cool stuff on there. And a very special shout out to our Patreon producers who give at the $15 a month level. Thank you.
Somebody doesn't have the list open yet.
Yeah, okay. I have it. Okay, you go first, though.
Thank you, Adam Helwitz.
Amanda K.
Amy T.
Ann Dwyer.
Caitlin L.
Casey S.
Courtney McPhail.
Danielle Lamana.
Drew Aranis.
Ellie Lagos.
Elizabeth E.
Emma.
Erica T.
Aaron B.
Gabriella Santiago.
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
Hannah L.
Jeffrey L.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic.
Jesse T.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jessica U.
Jonathan Venable.
Kat Miller.
Keith Anderson.
Kelly Burns.
Carrie N.
Landry Desmond.
Larry Nguyen.
Laura Hooper.
Maddie M.
Megan Lozier.
Melanie M.
Melody.
Micah Yunus.
Miguel Camacho.
Molly G.
Molly Marks.
Noah Spargo.
Rachel C.
Randy Klett.
Rebecca Goss.
Robert F.
Rogue Kalahua.
Sarah Wallen.
Sasha Gibson.
Sylvie T.
Victoria Beck.
And Whitney E. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We really appreciate you. We will see you all next week. Until then, keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.